Tejanendra, welcome to Adults Class 2, Practical Applications of Jainism. Let's start with the Noka Mantra. Namo Arihantanam, Namo Siddhanam, Namo Ayanyanam, Namo Ujjayanam, Namo Loe Savasahanam, Esu Panchanam Ukaro, Sava Papa Panashino, Mangla Nancha Savesim, Paramam Ave Mangla. So the last time, there were a number of questions about mindfulness. So I thought today we could try some exercises to try to cultivate a lifestyle of mindfulness. Hey, come on in.
Hello. Good morning.
Mindful. Who knows what mindfulness is? Does anybody know what mindfulness is?
I see it.
Oh, thank you so much for remembering.
Yeah. Like focusing on the moment.
Right. Mindfulness is a mental state characterized by being fully present in the moment, without judgment or distraction. Okay? It involves paying attention to your thoughts, feelings, bodily sensations, and surrounding environment. All right, so our first exercise.
It's okay for me to have tea, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Our first exercise is to breathe mindfully. So remember, mindfulness is not meditation, so you can do this with your eyes open or your eyes closed, whatever you feel comfortable with. So start taking deep breaths and focus your attention on your breath. Focus your attention on how you feel when one breath ends and another begins. And as you focus on it, realize that thoughts may be occurring and you're letting them go because you're focusing your attention on your breath. And your attention is not your thoughts. Your attention is an awareness, kind of like a spotlight. You can choose not to shine it on thoughts, and instead shine it on feelings or something such as your breath. And notice there is a lot to focus on. There's the movement of your chest in and out. There's when you decide to start breathing. How does that happen? There is how long each breath is. There is when exactly does your breath stop. There is how long between a breath stopping and the next one starting. And I could go on and on. It is infinitely interesting, this one thing. And it is infinitely interesting because you're focusing your attention.
मेरी पोती को लेके आते हैं मैं तो जब भी आज उसके टीचर घर पे थी 10 बजे वहां से निकले
सो देयर इज डिस्ट्रैक्शंस राइट
सो
यू शुड ऑलवेज कीप फोकसिंग ऑन योर ब्रेथ एंड दोस डिस्ट्रैक्शंस लेट देम गो बाय एज योर थॉट्स गो बाय यू कैन चूज टू पे अटेंशन टू डिस्ट्रैक्शंस यू कैन चूज टू पे अटेंशन टू अ क्लॉक टिकिंग or a smoke alarm chirping. And you can choose not to. You can choose to focus on your breath. Which is infinitely interesting. And if you get distracted, that's okay. Don't judge yourself or feel guilty. Just bring your attention back to your breath and laugh because your brain is always trying to distract you. In fact, that's its job. Okay, you can open your eyes if you want. How did you feel about that mindfulness exercise, focusing on your breath? Do you feel any different now than when you started? Mm-hmm. How so?
The feeling of calm and control, really.
Mm-hmm.
I control my thoughts.
Right. So you can control which thoughts you pay attention to, but you can't control, I know what you're saying, but technically you can't control your thoughts. Your thoughts originate in the subconscious and are delivered to your conscious mind. But I know what you're saying. You can control which thoughts you pay attention to, and that is immensely gratifying.
Exactly.
Have you ever felt bad because you had a wicked thought? If you were like passing by a bridge and you saw somebody lean over the bridge looking at the water and you thought, oh man, what would happen if I just pushed them over? It would take just a little bit to push them over. And then you felt bad. You're like, what kind of person am I that would think that kind of thoughts? Don't feel bad, because you're not thinking those thoughts. Those thoughts are delivered from your subconscious. There's no reason to feel bad. You're not a bad person if you think that way. You can decide which thoughts to pay attention to.
Right.
All you have to do is not pay attention to that thought. And that kind of control that you talk about, you can have that at any moment in your life. This feeling that you're feeling right now, you can have whenever you're tired and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you still have more to go, more work to do. You can be instantly energized by focusing on your breath and realizing that what is tiring you is your attention to disparate thoughts that you have. So that is something that's possible if you practice mindfulness. Other questions or comments about our breath exercise? That is one of the basic exercises for mindfulness. Okay, let's try another. Let's do the body scan exercise. What this is let's start from the bottom of our body and work our way up. And you tense the different muscles for a little bit, and then you relax them. And then you focus on how that feels. And because this is mindfulness, you can do it with your eyes open or closed, whatever's more comfortable for you. All right. So let's start with our toes. Tense them briefly, and then relax them. And then bring your awareness to your toes. Now let's do our feet. A lot of times, our awareness is only in our head, because that's where all of our 5 senses are. So a lot of times, especially when we sit down and don't move, we just think we're a head and that's it. But you're actually a whole body, right? You're a soul trapped in a body. So now let's move to our legs. Now bring your awareness to your knees. Check in with them, see how they feel. And now your thighs. And now your hips. Bring your awareness to your stomach and tense it, and let it go and relax. This is another major place, just like your head, because there's a lot of action there, and you can feel it a lot. Most people have no problem bringing their awareness to their stomach. And now your chest. And now move your awareness around your body to your back. And now your shoulders. And now your upper arms. And now your forearms and hands. Your hands are another easy one. A lot of people are used to bringing their awareness to their hands when we touch things and move things. And now let's go back up to your neck. And now try your face. It should be very easy to bring your awareness to your face. We're used to living like that. But now try the top of your head. And now imagine you have a blowhole on the top of your head, like a whale. And you can let all of your emotions out through the top of your head. Any anger or frustration. You can let it out and let it go, and it won't be inside your body anymore. Okay. How did that make you feel? A lot of times we feel in our head and we don't have a great mind-body connection like an athlete. And sometimes some people say, well, we shouldn't because we're a soul and not a body. But this is a mindfulness exercise, right? We want to make sure that we understand how our mind and body are connected. And you are a whole, you're a soul, but you're trapped in a whole body. And a lot of times we don't give awareness to our whole body at the same time. It was easy to move up the body, but now imagine being aware of your whole body at the same time. Questions or comments about that?
I really like the veil.
Yes,
yeah. It wasn't even for me.
Right.
I like that one. I've done body scan before, but that makes sense.
Right.
Let it go.
Right. Because a lot of times our anger and frustration, we feel it in our head, right? We feel it here. We feel like our face get hot when we get angry. We feel like our ears start to burn. So if we have like a little release valve on the top of our head, that helps out a lot.
I like that.
True.
You just feel lighter.
You do. You feel lighter. That's great. So what is the point of, what are the point of these exercises? That is, what is the point of trying to be mindful? And we define mindfulness, it's being aware of your thoughts and feelings and all the information coming at you in the present moment without judging it. But why should we do it? Why should we be aware of the present moment?
I think because it's real, and otherwise we're just stuck in this routine of life from doing one thing to the other and we don't enjoy the present.
Right. It's the present moment is real. It's all we have. The future is not here yet, and the past you can't change. You are enjoying life better, correct? when you are mindful, the quality of your attention increases, and that means the quality of your life increases. And you're also right, we go through life in a routine, and that routine is we're distracted through that routine. So we're not actually living life as much as we could. And that's the reason for mindfulness. Let's say, imagine you're brushing your teeth. So what happens is how your brain works is it likes to compartmentalize information. And if it's not a threat, it likes to ignore that information, right? So the problem is that we have such a nice life here that 99% of your life is not a threat. So you tend to ignore everything. So that means when you're brushing your teeth, there's no threat anywhere. You're just doing something routine daily that you've been doing. Hi, come on in.
Sorry.
No problem. And so what your brain is not doing what it's supposed to. So what your brain does is it goes back to the last argument you had with your spouse because that was a threat. Or what your brain does is it goes to the next encounter you're going to have with your coworker, right?
Yeah.
And how you're going to do that because that's the threat. So if 99% of your life isn't a threat, then your brain is taking you out into the past or into the future. And you're getting away from the present moment because that's what your brain is designed to do. That's the function of your brain, is to assess threats. And if you're not in a threat, it will take you to a threat, even if you don't want it to. And so this counteracts that. Mindfulness counteracts the tendency of our brain to take us out and make us feel threatened, because the brain loves when we feel threatened because it's doing its job.
Right.
Yes. Those small fears.
Yeah. Yeah. They call it the crocodile brain, right? There's a crocodile brain, and then there's the neocortex and the frontal cortex.
That's right.
And that's what we got. The more we use the frontal cortex, the better it is.
Right.
But to your point, I guess evolutionary, we always, the crocodile brain kicks in first than anybody else.
That's right. It's the fast brain. And you want to move it, move your thoughts and your attention to the slow part of your brain. That's right. And so that's what these exercises do. They're designed to bring your attention back from wherever your brain wants your attention to be. All right. So next mindfulness exercise, I am going to strike this bell 3 times. Okay, this one will help if your eyes are closed, okay? So just like with your breath, you know, it's infinitely interesting about when your one breath ends and when another breath starts and how you feel and you're anticipating. So I'm going to strike this bell 3 times and I want you to listen to the sound, see how long it goes, and see if you can identify the part where it stops. And of course you'll be able to identify the next one. And see if you can kind of be in the present moment. Okay, very good. Were you able to identify when the sound stopped? Or were you distracted by the sounds from the other room? Or the clock ticking? Did it force you to pay attention?
It did.
Yes.
It did.
For last one especially.
The last one was exciting, wasn't it? Because I told you I was going to strike it 3 times, but I struck it 4 times. What were you thinking when I struck the last one? Did you think, oh, this guy lost count, or am I supposed to still doing it, or you opened your eyes too early? Those are things I want you to pay attention to.
But for me,
hey,
it never went away. It was like it just faded away. It was just slowly reducing intensity, but I still felt like it was, now it's gone in this environment and the vibration is still there.
Okay.
It's still there. It's just that it's faded away.
Hi, how are you doing?
J.J.
Nendra. We're practicing mindfulness exercises today. So what we're going to do, we're going to try this one again.
Okay.
We're going to close our eyes and we're going to listen for the bell. And we'll listen to the sound. And you will bring your attention to the present moment by trying to anticipate or determine when the sound ends, when the next one will begin, and not get distracted by what your brain wants you to think about. Okay, so that time I didn't tell you how many times I was going to do it, so you were maybe anticipating another one. So if you did that exercise twice, did it feel different the second time?
It did.
How so?
As he explained the vibrations that he felt, I tried to, you know, think about it, and on second exercise, I tried to focus on those. So that helped for me to... starting sound and the sound, like pay attention to that.
And then between one of them, I waited a little longer.
Yes.
And so some of you probably thought, well, what is this guy doing? Is this exercise done? So it's important that we pay attention to those kind of thoughts, and that brings us into the present moment. Thanks for everybody just joining us. We're practicing mindfulness exercises today. Our first one was our breath awareness exercise. Second one was a body scan where we moved awareness from the bottom of our body to the top. And we just did the third one, which is mindful listening. Yes.
I was going to say that the second time, the unexpected did not bother me.
Right.
Right. Yeah, it was not... because I left it to the flow,
right.
The present flow, and what was coming... I was anticipating something, but it happened. Something else happened, but it did not bother me at all.
So now you realize the power of expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now you realize that why people preempt you with bad news before you experience it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have a chance to experience it, then when you go through it, it's not that bad. And now you realize that, oh, the experience was totally different from when he told me he was going to strike it three times to when I had no idea how many times he was going to strike it, and I have no idea when this exercise is going to be over.
Yeah.
And so now you realize how powerful, if that caused you to have a radically different experience, imagine the expectations, how much of an impact they have on your life.
Yeah.
Yes.
The second time I was thinking about, as you were striking the sound, I was thinking that may be the reason to have those bells in our temples.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That people, instead of their mind going all around out of the temple, they will bring it back.
Yeah.
That's correct.
That makes sense.
That's exactly the reason.
And they go longer, right? When
that's
they do the thing because of the metal,
mm-hmm.
It lingers.
At least until that sound is there, people bring their mind back to the temple.
Right. Okay, so next exercise is observing yourself in the third person. So you can do this with your eyes open or closed. This is not meditation. What I want you to do is to look at yourself, bring your awareness outside your body, and look at yourself. Picture yourself right now, how you're sitting, exactly as another person might see you. And I imagine it's hard for you. I imagine it's easier for you to look at your back than look at your front. So if that's easier, do that for sure. Or if it's easy, you can look at yourself from the top. And the reason it's easier is because you don't really know what you look like. You certainly know what you look like in the mirror very well. But as we know, your mirror is not your true reflection. What you see in the mirror is not what other people see, because it's reversed. Okay, so now try to bring your awareness back inside your body normally, and then try to bring it outside again, and see if you can do that. And another reason this is very hard is because we don't like it. We don't like to examine ourselves. We don't like to examine ourselves from the outside as other people might see us, because we know they're judging us. And we don't want to judge ourselves as harshly. Okay. Did that help anybody?
Yes.
Was anybody not able to picture themselves? Not able
hard.
To picture yourself.
Really difficult.
Really hard. It will help.
When you say just looking at you from the top.
Right.
I could not figure it out.
Right.
And
did you forget you had white hair? Did you forget you were wearing a black jacket?
No, I don't pay attention to
yeah, exactly.
My hair.
Right, exactly. That's why it's hard, right?
I have difficulty even visualizing my back.
Right.
Because you always see in the mirror that our front only.
Right. Is anybody here good with directions?
No.
Yeah. Don't follow
with
the login
GPS.
GPS.
Yes.
With the
yes.
GPS.
With the GPS.
Yeah,
so
very good about the DX.
So you know how it feels to look at yourself on the map and look at the blue dot and you're looking at...
Yeah.
Let me tell you something if you're not good with directions. The people that are good with directions, they just have that in their mind. When they're driving down the street, they're imagining themselves as a blue dot and they're moving. And they say, oh yeah, go east on this street and north on this street. Well, they just have a map in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're driving, that's how they subconsciously and consciously view the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why they're good with directions.
Mm-hmm.
So in that same respect, when you start seeing yourself from the way that other people see you, your life is going to change. Just like that person is, just like the two people are totally different, a person good with directions and a person not good with directions, just from that one thing. When you start to see every interaction from the other person's point of view, looking at yourself, your life is going to change. A good litmus test is sitting up straight. We all know we're supposed to sit up straight. Like half of you just started sitting up straight right now. We know that it feels better. We know that it's good for us. But it's hard to do. But once you do it and you realize it's good for you, then it's hard not to do. Right? So this same thing applies to looking at yourself in the third person. So that's a good litmus test for how you are as far as mindfulness goes, is if you're constantly sitting up straight. Because then you're constantly in the present moment. You're constantly thinking about your body, remember the body scan exercise. You're constantly thinking about how other people see you, because we know it's not good, you know, it doesn't look good to see people slouch, right? So that means you're along the mindfulness path. So if you ever want a good litmus test, that is a good one. All right.
That was a very good one, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, you like that one? Questions or comments about that one?
Actually, my brain started asking questions. It was very easy for me.
Next. You want
like,
us to take
I was
one?
Able to.
Is that okay?
You know how you see in movies, right? Like suddenly a figure which is translucent in nature, but it's still like a reflection of that, you know, 3D image.
Right.
I was able to visualize myself that way, and then my brain started asking questions like, can I be best friends with this person?
Right. A movie is a very good way to look at it, because imagine that it was a camera, and you're looking through a camera at yourself. Imagine you're a reality star, and a camera is following you everywhere you go. That's a great way to practice the exercise.
Yeah.
All right. Let's try an eating exercise. Okay. So you have an apple in front of you. You're going to eat this apple, but don't eat it yet. Okay? First,
pretend it is.
First, you want to look at it. Okay? Notice the color. Notice the imperfections. Notice how the color changes as you turn it over. Notice how heavy it is. Okay, you've seen a million of these before, but now you're really paying attention to it. Imagine eating it. Imagine how it feels to take a bite of it. Okay, I want you to smell the apple. Notice how it makes your body feel, just looking at it and smelling it. Is there any sensations going on in your mouth, in your stomach, in your mind? Notice the texture. Now take a bite. And feel how it feels in your mouth. And the sound that it makes when you bite into it. And you were paying attention to your thoughts and your mouth before, and how do they change as you're eating it? Now, did you notice a difference between this bite and any other bite you've ever taken in an apple? Yes. What did you notice?
Fullness. The moment had a fullness in it.
Right.
Otherwise, it's just served before you, and that's
right.
The next activity you have to do, get it done. But there was, yeah, fullness.
Yes.
That's what I felt like. Like, there was no other thought in my mind except eating the apple and what it felt like.
Right.
Otherwise, generally, when we're eating food, we're eating a fruit, there's some of the other thought that's always going on in our brain when you're not really enjoying the actual thing that you're eating.
Yeah. Sometimes you can't help yourself.
Yeah, I did it too, by the way.
Okay.
I had a couple already.
Take a second bite, or it might be your fourth bite at this point.
My problem is I just made breakfast at 9 o'clock. And when you ask whether what do you feel in your mouth, and I say I have no feeling because only at 9 o'clock I have taken my breakfast.
Right.
So I have not feeling anything.
And how did the second bite differ from the first bite? Notice that there's a big difference. There's really a tremendous difference if you're paying attention to how it feels in your mind.
Less pleasure, maybe. Not
right.
As much as the first bite.
Right. That's very true. So imagine how the third bite's going to taste.
Even less than that.
Mm-hmm. Let's try it. Let's see if it's true.
It is a good apple.
Nice apple.
So you can mindfully eat every meal of your whole life, and it'll be totally different. And I encourage you to try that. I have done it. It's has radically changed the way I eat, how much I eat, things like that. You might start resenting people trying to talk to you when you're eating, though. So be careful about that. Because now I don't like to eat with people and talk with people and eat,
yeah,
like have a normal lunch with somebody. I don't like it anymore because I can't pay attention to my food. I can't pay attention to each bite. I can't, because it decreases the quality of my meal when I'm talking with somebody and trying to do two things at once.
This also applies to when we drink water.
Sure.
It's like always the water that, whenever I take my water, it's just in rush, right? I'm very thirsty and just gulp the water. Recently, like 6 months back or so, I realized that is something that I heard about, is you can do it mindfully by just sitting whichever space is available next to you and having a just a glass of water, sitting and having a water instead of just standing and gulping the water.
That's absolutely right, and I'm glad you brought that up, because it not only applies to every bite you take, it not only applies to every sip of water you drink, it not only applies to every breath you take, it applies to every moment of your entire life that you can change. And that's what all these exercises are designed to do. They're designed to help you with that realization. Different people learn things in different ways. A lot of people like this exercise, but it's all the same realization. That in each moment, you can choose to increase the quality of your attention via mindfulness, and that will increase the quality of your life. Thank you so much for your time this week. I really appreciate that. I know we have a short class. We have language showcase at 11:15 in the main hall. Any questions or comments about anything we talked about today?
This is a great class. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, the comment that you made in the end, that eating a food, you start enjoying it, but then you start sending other people to disturb you. And it brought me to a conversation I had with a friend. He's into Chinmaya mission guy. And he asked one of the gurus that, they're talking about moksha and nirvana. He's like, when do I know that I've achieved nirvana? And the reply that Sant gave was very much in line, but some of it what you said is, you achieve nirvana when other people start considering you boring, but you are still happy with yourself.
Sure. Just like just like breathing is infinitely interesting, you'll find that the entirety of your life, no matter how mundane, is infinitely interesting. And one of the most interesting things you could possibly do is to eat this common apple.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for remembering this. Appreciate it.